I am so glad that you're here. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty jacked up this morning. I'm excited. I think I've had way too much coffee. Raise your hand if you've drunk too much coffee like me. I'm sitting on the side of my heart's beating about 100 miles an hour, and I'm excited to be here with you. I know we have some guests. My name is Russell. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor of Neartown Church. This is a unique church. I believe, not only because of where we're located, but because of the kind of people that make up Neartown Church. We got haves and have-nots. We got people with really broken backgrounds and people with sort of broken backgrounds. But I think in the end, what we're doing here today is we want to hear God from His Word, and we want to think carefully about what it means for our tomorrow and for the rest of our lives. Before we get in here, all of you are special to me, but I just want to make a special welcome to a friend of mine, and David is right here sitting next to Greg. Dave, just raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm trying to embarrass you. David, and I just want you to know, man, it's an honor that you're here this morning. David and I met 2 weeks ago. I needed some help on a house I'm trying to sell in South Houston, and so we met, and for the first few days, I've watched him work like a dog. I worked him like a dog, and since then, we have developed what I consider to be a good friendship. So I love you, brother, and I'm glad you're here, and I look forward to having you help us tear down at the end. All right? Okay, so we're glad that you're here. All the rest of you are special, but David is our guest of honor today. So I just started this series. It's a series about love. And last week, we talked about the love of God demonstrated to us, which I'll mention again in a minute. And in the coming weeks, where we're going is we're going to examine the Bible so that we can hear from God about how we are to live as people who love others. People who can genuinely love our spouse, people who genuinely love the down and out, the people that are in the margins, people that can genuinely love those that hate us and those that resist us. And so we're going to learn that. But I think there's an important place that we need to go today in this series about love. And it's really about you learning to love your own story. To love others, you must learn to think about and to love your own story. What I mean by story is what has happened in your life, the narrative of your life. I believe deeply that God has a divine story that He's writing into history. And all of us are living a story that fits into that, that's a part of that. Well, we ought to just begin with this idea that there is a story that God is writing. The story goes a little something like this. In Genesis 1, we read that God created all things. And when He created all things, He called them good. But He created this one being called humans that He called very good. In Genesis chapter 3, we read that these humans, Adam and Eve, rebelled against God, and there were consequences for it. Sin entered, brokenness entered, judgment was made. And so now there's division between people and between us and God and between earth and people. And the story of the Old Testament, as God is writing it, is a story of people who try to, on their own, restore the brokenness that exists in their own hearts and in the world around them. But they can't do it. But God has made a way. The beginning of the New Testament is the part of the story where Jesus enters. Jesus is God with flesh. When Jesus comes onto the scene, He says things in a way that no one has ever said them. He demonstrates the love of God by healing people and helping people, by loving those that seemed unlovable. And then He died on a cross. And in a mysterious exchange, through faith, our sin goes to Him and His righteousness goes to us. The story that God is writing is one of restoration and one of redemption. It's one where we now have this good news that people can be restored to Almighty God because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's the good news of the Bible. But each of us have a story. Each of us have a story to live. So look to your neighbor and say, you have a story. Or is now an okay time to leave? If you're bored already, just go ahead and say that. You can get up and leave. It's cool. Well, the Bible teaches that God has created you with something special in mind. Isn't that incredible to think about? So this message really is about you. Some of you really, really like that. The message is about you. God has created you with a purpose in mind. The passage that David read at Psalm 139, verses 14 through 16. I just want to read this again, because I want you to hear it believing that God has written your life and purposed your life for something. Something that will fit into this grand narrative of what God wants to do in the world. The psalmist says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. So God knew you before anybody else knew you. All the days ordained for me were written in your books before one of them came to be. God has a purpose for your life. He does. But here's the thing about life. James chapter 4 describes life in this way. Our lives are like a mist. They're here for a moment and then they vanish. Our lives are so brief. They're so short. And I don't know about you, but sometimes as I'm living out my daily life, I get concerned with things going on around me that are not important and not necessary. And I need to remind myself that I have a limited number of days on this earth, and I better know my story and the purpose for which God has put me on this earth. One of the people that's written a lot about this idea of story is a man by the name of Dan Allender, and he says this about story. He says, God is not merely the creator of our life. God is also the author. Each person's life is written to reveal God's divine story. So here's the thing about your story. It's not just something to be lived so that you can make it through this life without much conflict and a little money in the bank as you get older. Your story, your life has a purpose in God's grand story. And you say, oh, Russell, I don't know. You don't know about me because, you know, I've been cheated and I've stolen. I've been dishonest. I've been adulterous. I've been this and I've been that. And I want you to know that in the Bible, those are the exact kinds of people that God uses. You say, I'm too young, or I'm too old, I'm too white, I'm too black, I'm too dumb, I'm too smart. Anybody admit to being too dumb? Okay, good. You say, God uses these kinds of people. Can I get an amen? Because that is you and that is me. But here's the thing. To enter into this kind of life where you see your story and your life fitting into the grand narrative of what God wants to do to restore things and people to himself through Jesus Christ, you must receive Christ. Last week I talked a bit about this out of Ephesians chapter 2, and what we learned was what Paul said to the church in Ephesus. And he said, God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, did three things. He made us alive together with Christ, he raised us up with Christ, and he seated us with Christ. It is through Christ that we understand our story and our lives to fit into the grand narrative. Each of you have a life that God has a purpose for. But I don't know about you, but when I think about my own life and I look back over the chapters in my life, I see some places where there are problems. I see some places where there are dark times. You see, all of us must understand that there are problems in each one of our stories. There is a real force working to destroy your story, working to destroy your life, and to keep you from what God intends. I promise you, the happiest, most joy-filled place you will be is when you know that the life you're living is fitting perfectly in the story that God is writing. But all of us have things in our life that are evil, that are dark. All of us. There is a force in the world that's seeking to destroy our stories, seeking to destroy our lives. And this is a real force. It's an active force, and we cannot take it lightly or treat it as if it's not important. There is evidence in our world of brokenness, right? And this affects us all. I mean, just, I don't want to get into all this. I don't stand up here to report the news, but we live in a time where you turn on the news or log in and just look at the news. You see stories of racism and injustice and crime all around us, right? I mean, there are stories out of this week about these kinds of things. This is evidence that there is a very real force in the world that's seeking to destroy people and ultimately your story. All of us have felt deeply the pain of the fall. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God, as described in Genesis chapter 3, there were consequences, as I mentioned. There's brokenness between human beings. There's brokenness between us and God. And there's brokenness between the way the earth operates and how it affects us. All of us have felt deeply the pain of the fall. That's a part of your story. It's a part of my story. And in one sense, this pain comes from the outside. We are affected from the outside. You know, there is a being in our world called the devil. And Peter talks about the devil in this way. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." This is a representative of evil seeking to destroy your life. Maybe part of your story includes a chapter where someone has done evil against you. Think about that just for a moment. Last week I asked you to think this week about ways in which you've not been loved well. Maybe you can recall a time in your life where someone has treated you with evil. They have not loved you well. Now, it's not my purpose during this time to stir pain in you. I don't want to do that, and frankly, it's negligent for me to do something that would stir pain in you in a moment like this, because I can't sit with you knee to knee and hug you and cry with you and all of that. But I do believe that if you're like most people, that the dark parts of your story affect the way you live. Maybe you were mistreated by a parent. When I was early on in ministry, there was a girl in the ministry that I was leading. Her name was Annie. And I loved Annie so much because she had so much life and she was so well liked by so many people. And as I got to know her, I realized that a lot of that was a cover up for a lot of deep, dark pain. You see, Annie grew up in an environment where her parents had everything together and their expectation of her to do things perfectly was crushing. She began to harm herself with an eating disorder. And when I met with Annie, I could never really get to the root of why she would treat herself that way. Why would you practice those eating habits that were so unhealthy and so harmful? And over time, what I learned was that she had been deeply wounded by her parents, and so her response to living was evil, was darkness, was pain. Maybe some of you can think of a way in which you were mistreated by a parent. And I want you to know, this isn't about knocking on parents. There's not a perfect parent in here. I have four children. They'll grow up and they'll hear a sermon like this and they'll think of ways that I was too harsh or I was too lenient or I was too present or not present enough. And so there are no perfect parents. This isn't about you acknowledging that somehow your parents are failures or whatever. But all of us have stories that sometimes include things like parents abandoning or rejecting. So the way that your story goes, if your story of an authority figure, a parent abandoning you, it goes a little something like this. I will never let somebody reject me again. You walk around determined to be tougher than anyone else, or you become a people pleaser determined not to be rejected again. Maybe that's a part of your story. I think we must acknowledge these things and how they affect us for us to truly understand our place in God's redemptive narrative. Maybe a part of your story includes being hurt by a lover. Someone that was supposed to treat you with kindness and gentleness and faithfulness. Instead, they rejected you. They cheated on you. And so here you are living out your life with that wound, not wanting to commit maybe, or some other response to that. Can you just for a moment think about how that has affected your life in your story? All of us have those dark places. And again, I don't want to stir that pain in you in a way that's negligent, but I want you just to think about it. All of us have been affected by others, but you know what? Really, all of us have been affected by something that exists within each one of us. We've all been affected by the fall in that when we were born, we had within us a desire to rebel against the holy God. Your inclination from a very young age to rebel or to lie or to cheat or to be selfish, this came as a result of the fact that you were born into sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 18, Paul is describing to the fledgling church of Rome why this is. And he says, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act at the cross brings righteousness to the people of God and new life for everyone. Because Adam disobeyed God, many people become sinners or are inclined to rebel against God. But it's through Christ that we are redeemed. We're made righteous. So within every one of us is a darkness that seeks to destroy our story. It gives itself to addiction, to inauthenticity, living false lives. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. These are broken things that we can see all around us, but there's a brokenness within each one of us. And these places are painful. We hate it. Why is that? Why, when you think about the dark parts of your story, or you think about the part of you that still desires to rebel against God, why is it that we grow to hate that? Do you know why? It's because in every one of us, there is a longing to be in that place that Adam and Eve first fellowshiped with an almighty God in the garden. There is a desire for peace in every one of our hearts. The desire for peace, or shalom, is a universal longing. We must recognize that to fully understand and love our own story. What are those dark places in you? Let's do something. Would you bow your head together? Would you, right now, in the middle of this talk, if there's a place in you where you recognize darkness, would you just, in a quiet moment of prayer, tell God? If you feel compelled, I hope you do, would you ask God to forgive you for those dark deeds which are still a part of your story? Amen. We all long for that place of peace, that unbroken presence with God in the garden. We all long to live stories that really sync up with what God is doing in the world. Every one of us wants to, in our old age, when we're laying our head on that pillow for the last time, to look back and say, yes, we lived the lives that God was writing for us. And there is good news. You see, Jesus came to restore that which has been broken by the fall. This is the good news of the Bible. Jesus came to restore that which has been broken by the fall. It's a good message. The not so great chapters in our story are real evidence that we need a Savior to restore. Recently, I was talking to someone and they were sharing with me that they had found something out about their spouse that was crushing to them. And I asked them, I said, are you gonna leave him? And she said, no. She said, what do I do? I said, first of all, you must admit that evil that's been done to you is painful. Second of all, what you must know is that the darkness in that part of this person's story is an evidence that we need Jesus. That's the beautiful thing of the gospel. The darkness in our story, or the chapters in our life, which we'd like to erase, but are there and still affect us, argue that we need a Savior. And my prayer is that in my own life, the places that I look at dark chapters, dark stories, and evil that's been done to me, or evil that I've chosen to do, those things cry out, we need God. Those things can draw us into a deeper presence of God's, a deeper presence with God. You know, not only are there dark places in our story, but you know, there are blessings in our story. Those are more fun to talk about, and things in our life where we look back and we go, man, that was awesome. Some of you have had awesome parents. Parents that were present and enduring. Family members that cared for you selflessly and faithfully and loved you really, really well. As I look back over the course of my own story and I think about someone that's had a great impact on me, I can think about my grandmother. My grandmother was given to me as a gift by God through my mom's marriage to my stepdad. And my grandmother was a really rickety old lady. She had polio as a child, and she weighed about 75 pounds. And I can remember as a kid, she'd go with us, and one of her legs was affected so severely by polio, she couldn't bend it at the knee. So she had this cane that we always tried to play with as kids, and then she'd just use it to hit us. But my grandmother loved me so well. I can remember even through my adulthood years and as I began my career in ministry and got more successful and began to minister to more and more people. And I remember going with her, and none of that mattered because all she really cared deeply for was me. And I would sit down with her for hours, and she'd listen to me drone on about girls that I was dating and things that I thought about the Bible and problems in the world. And she just loved me well. I think that's one reason that there's a special place in my heart for senior adults, which is why I like some of you. I'm not going to point you out. No, I'm just kidding. So that's a good part of my story. It's a beautiful part of my story. Maybe you can think of things in your life that there were blessings. Maybe you can recall the deep love of a friend. Someone that was present with you in a time of agony, someone that was rejoicing with you in a time of success. Do you know that that part of your story helps you love others? Some of you have a part of your story, financial prosperity. That is a blessing. I mean, we all know that the love of money is the root of all evil, but we all know that having enough money to provide for what we need is a great joy. And some of you have experienced that, and that's a blessing to you. That's a part of your story. It's beautiful. It helps you to live peacefully out in this world. Others of you have a blessing in your story that's some kind of break that opens up opportunity. Maybe you can think of a time in your life where you had a conversation with just the right person and he recommended you to somebody else that gave you a great job. Or maybe some of you got a break in a relationship and you found somebody that would marry you and love you well. For some of you, that's a miracle. All of us have blessings in our story. Aren't those fun to think about? Those really are fun to think about. The ways that God has gifted some of you all with a great mind. I mean, you can think so fast and so precisely that it puts you above the rest. And that's a gift that God has given you. I often tell my oldest son, Kobe, and I say, Kobe, God has given you a mind where from a very young age, he's been able to do math effortlessly, mentally. And I said, God has given you that. I mean, that's a part of his story. He's been entrusted with that. Others of you have incredible relational capacity. You just are naturally liked by people. And that's wonderful. God has given you that so that you can use it to live out the story. And do you know that any blessing in your life is from God? If you think for a moment that your financial success was at your own hands, you're a fool. If you think that the brain that you have and the knowledge that you have accumulated is because of you, you are a fool. You see, every good thing is from God. Every good thing. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Do you know that God has written into your story times of darkness and real blessings? And when you begin to understand that, begin to see how those things affect you negatively and positively, you will learn to love your story, which enables you to love others. Recently, I was meeting with a mentor of mine. And as I mentioned last week, I'm asking him to help me grow in the scriptures and understanding what it means to truly love, because I feel like there's some hitches in my heart in that way. And he said this to me, which is really profoundly true. He said, you know, this is a guy that's been in ministry for a long time, 50 years. He's led in big venues and been a person of great influence. He said, one of my frustrations with the church over the years is that the church teaches you a lot about the Bible, but teaches you very little about how to really love another person. Dan Allender says, when I study and understand my life story, I can join God as the co-author. God calls us to be the co-author of our future. So my aim here is to get you to a place where you can learn to love your own story so that we can be the kind of people as a church that can really love one another well. I don't mean just that surface, hey, I love you, glad you're here, take care. I'm talking about the kind of love that enters into another person's story and is present, is faithful, is caring. I also pray that we can become the kind of people who love others well. And I don't just mean the kind of people outside this church that are like us. I mean the kind of people that hate us. Can you imagine that kind of love? I promise you, if you and I and we become the kind of people that truly love in the way that God has intended us to love, this neighborhood will be transformed. This city will be impacted. Friday night, I did a wedding, as I often do. I'm in wedding season, so I'm doing lots of weddings on the side. People that don't go to this church, but people that just come needing a wedding pastor. And after the wedding was over, I do what any professional pastor would do. I go and see what kind of appetizers they're offering. And so I go into the room, and the trick with that, by the way, if you really want appetizers after a wedding, is don't go to where the crowd is. Go to where the people are coming out of the kitchen with the appetizers, because you'll be the first one they see. That's for free. And so I'm in this area. Nobody else is there except for the DJ and the photo booth guy. And I engage in a conversation with these two. And as a part of the conversation, very briefly, I started talking to them about the Lord. And I started saying to the, ask them, I said, what's your faith? Do you have a faith in God? Or kind of where are you in your life's journey? What's your story? And one guy said, well, I'm non-denominational. I said, where do you go to church? He says, well, I don't go to church. And I said, well, that means you're non-church. So just so you know. And he was going like, who are you? And the other guy said, I'm Muslim. And I said, oh, really? And immediately when he said that, he expected me to become cold towards him. So he became cold towards me. But rather than doing that, what I did is I turned towards him and I said, tell me about that. Where do you go to mosque? And he began to describe this place that he goes. And it didn't sound like he went very much. But I said, that's interesting. I said, where are you from? And I began to listen to his story. I began to just try to love and enter into his story very briefly. And I said to him, I said, man, I would love to hear more of your story and get to know you more. I said, if you come to my church, I'll come to your mosque. And he about passed out. I didn't know what I was saying because my next thought was like, if I go to his mosque, I got to find somebody else to preach for me on Sunday morning, you know, I kind of think all this stuff. But when I said that to him, he said, he immediately lit up and he said, that is an offer I won't refuse. He said to me, no Christian has ever said that to me. You see, what I did in that moment was I just loved him. No matter what you think about what Islam teaches or how it affects people, I want you to know that those are the kinds of people that we need to love well too. And he's actually going to be here next week. You see, part of that is learning to love your story so that you can love others well. To love others well, there's just two things as I bring this to a close that I want you to think about related to your story. The places in your life that are not so great are the very things that God will use to help you love other people well. We cannot let those dark places write our story. That's what happens sometimes. You're rejected by someone that's supposed to love you, and so you live your whole life with a really tough exterior, refusing to let anybody else in. We cannot let the dark places in our story write the rest of our story. Just think for a moment about that. The places in our story that are good, the blessings, are given to God, given to us by God so that we can help others. The places in our life that we count as blessings are given to us so that we can help others. I happen to think that one great blessing, probably the greatest blessing in my life, is my wife. And not just my relationship with her, but just her as a human being. She's not in here. She's working with the kids. I hope you'll tell her this so I'll get some lip gravy later. But what I realize about our marriage, which has not always been easy, and there's been some dark places, is that it's a great blessing. And so with that, we feel responsible for sharing it with others. We care deeply about inviting young couples into our lives and letting them just participate in our family and in our home. You see, God gives you blessings, be it financial, relational, mental, whatever kind of blessings that you can think of. He gives that to you so that you can love others well with it. I want for you to be the kind of people that love your own story. And before I lead you to think about loving others, to loving the outcast, to loving your spouse, to loving a friend, loving your enemies, to loving the poor, to loving all of these things that we're going to talk about in the next few weeks, what I know is that you must learn to love your own story. And it is by the grace of God demonstrated in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross that invites us into the grand narrative. And I pray, no matter your story, that you will see your place in it. Maya Angelou said these words. I'll quote this and be done. There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you. Let's pray together.